Welcome to the Tan and J-Man Show. I'm co-host Josh J-Man Munt. Sitting next to me is Tanner T-Dog Lee. How you doing tonight there, T-Dog?
Doing really good, J-Man. It's we've talked all off season, just ready to talk about games, just ready to talk about football. Yeah. Week one of college football is finally upon us. It's time for the talk to stop. It's time for the guys to buckle their chin straps and hit somebody besides their own teammates, and we get to analyze. I guess technically college football kicked off this past weekend with a appetizer of games for week zero. But did you watch any week zero action? No.
No, I did not.
I watched the first half of the Memphis UNLV game.
Yeah, your UNLV pick might already be defunct.
Boise State was my...
Oh, it was? I thought you said
UNLV. Power six. I thought UNLV would be in the conversation. But yeah, that probably hurts their playoff chances already. Yeah,
for sure. For sure. It's not a Josh intro without talking about the weather. It seems like every year leading up to, you know, week one, it's like nice, kind of cool on the cooler side, low humidity. And then summer punches back and hits 90 degrees by Labor Day. And sure enough, here we are.
Yep, I'm glad Purdue has a night game Friday night. Yeah. Instead of a Saturday nooner like they do week two, which still could be hot against week two.
Hot,
but
sure.
You know, there's a lot of people clamoring for to move college football to start up a week, like week zero would have been. Too hot.
No, I think Labor Day is perfect because you have the holiday, 3-day weekend. It's always been the start of college football. Something has to stay the same.
No kidding, right?
Yeah.
Like, I know the world changes, sports change, but man, it's too rapid right now for my liking.
Agreed.
But I'm just glad we have Big Ten to talk about this week. We'll be previewing that. That's the conference we follow the closest. Mm-hmm. And then this will round out the 12 teams that we predict will be in the playoff, which I'm sure we'll be very wrong on. But
yes, it's very nice to be able to bring back our confidence points, pick 'em.
I hate a week one though when you do 18 different games.
Yeah, it's hard because some, like, this team's going to blow them out, but you only put 5 confidence points on them.
Exactly.
It's very difficult. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, there's, you know, some teams that are going to be better than other teams that I'm picking to win at a higher confidence because their opponent is that much worse than other set teams' opponents.
Exactly. So.
Yep. But brought some birdie or bogey with me that is Big Ten related. Tonight, since we're talking about the Big Ten Conference, there are 4 teams in the present-day Big Ten that do not claim a national championship in football. Name those 4 teams.
I mean, that's hard because people were just claiming stuff back in the day. even terrible University of Illinois has, I think, claimed 2 of them, at least.
Correct. They are not one of the 4. I will give you that.
Which I knew that anyway. That's a good question. Birdie or Bogey is brought to you by Giretti's Place and Arlington Public House. Small town vibes, big time flavor. Giretti's Place serves up fresh breakfast and lunch favorites that keep you coming back for more. Located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana.
I ate lunch at Giretti's Place on Saturday. I had myself a nice little Philly sandwich with the juice sauce. That's usually my go-to there without the onions.
I was going to say, you didn't have the onions on.
I'm not an onion guy, but it's very good. My wife, I believe, had the buffalo chicken wrap. I do not remember what my parents had, but they did not have any specials on their Facebook page for the weekend, but they did have Taco Tuesday last Tuesday.
So
look for that tomorrow. They had shrimp tacos were one of their featured last Tuesday. And let's see if Arlington had any weekend special here. Should have had this ready, but I didn't. No weekend special featured, but they were promoting their bingo night, which is on Thursday nights. So it was mixtape bingo. Sing along, test your music knowledge, and maybe even take home a win. 6 to 8 p.m. Thursdays, $3 tacos, half off margaritas.
That sounds fun.
Sounds like a good time. Mm-hmm. Go check out Taco Tuesday. Go check out Mixtape Bingo Night, assuming that's the same theme, on Thursday. And order some food, order some drinks, and you won't be disappointed.
That's right.
We're going to be football heavy on this episode, but the baseball season's still rocking and rolling. Mm-hmm. It's September tomorrow. Playoffs will be here before we know it.
Yes.
Give us a rundown on what's going on with the Cubs and what's going on with the rest of the MLB. Any movement since last Monday?
I don't know if there's been any actual movement as far as overtaking, but as far as the Cubs go, they have not played overly great baseball here the past 10 days.
Couldn't
or so.
Tell from your Twitter.
There was one day I was real angry, which that happens every once in a while. But they have lost each of their last three series. Crazy thing is they went 3-6 over their past nine games, and they had a run differential of plus 27. That's because you win by 19-2 one game and 17-5 one game. That helps helps significantly. It's just they're in a lull. They're just it's just dog days of August. Hopefully, once the calendar turns, it'll they'll kind of kick it into gear again. But since
turns tomorrow,
it does. Dansby Swanson's injury there, 5-8, which I was worried about just because Dansby's so dang good at short. Nico's so dang good at second, and Nico's not nearly as good at short as Dansby is. And it's already kind of cost him some games. It probably cost him Friday's game against the Reds, where the ball was hit to Pedro Ramirez. It was called a hit. It was a very tough play, but Nico makes it probably 9 times out of 10, and Pedro couldn't make it. Next thing you know, 5 runs are on the board for the Reds. So that kind of stuff. But injuries are part of the game. The pitching staff is very, very scary. They have given up 208 home runs this year, which is tied for the most in baseball.
It's a lot of long balls.
That's a lot. With the Athletics, and the Athletics play their home games at a minor league stadium that I don't know if the dimensions are all that different than Copeland Field at Rochester. That's pretty tiny, tiny little bandbox there.
Which Josh never hit one out of in a game.
Josh never hit one out of anyway. I was a hit the other way sort of guy.
There you go.
But anyway, the thing that stinks about it is Pete Crow Armstrong's having a season that Mike, at the end of the season, we might be talking like that might have been the greatest single season performance we've ever seen from a Chicago Cub. 38 home runs, over 30 steals, the best defender in the sport, regardless of position. And their pitching staff's kind of ruining it. I mean, they're still in good shape. They're 17 games over 500. But they did just have a 5-game lead on the Phillies for that top wildcard spot. Now they're tied. They are 5 games up for a playoff spot. But they have 7 games against Milwaukee. They have 6 against the Marlins. They're over 500. They still have to face the Atlanta Braves. Still have to face the Boston Red Sox. Still have to go to Cincinnati. Still have to face the Pirates, who you don't know who's going to be pitching for them. So right now I'm not feeling great about things, but still there's some time left. There is officially, I think it's 25 games left of the season. It's a nut up or shut up sort of time, and hopefully they'll be able to win some games this week against the Milwaukee Brewers. The division's out of the question. They're 8 games out at this point, where I think this time last week they were 3 games out or 4 games out. But they're still in a good spot for a wild card appearance. But Shota Imanaga got shelled last night for about what seems like the 10th time in a row. He has given up 3 homers or more in a game 6 different times this season, which is the most ever for a left-handed pitcher, regardless of team. It was a major league record. So history was made last night. The offense has been fine, but it feels like you got to score 8 runs a game to be able to win, and that's just not feasible. In the regular season, it's definitely not feasible in the postseason, so they got to figure something out quick here. But I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say they bounce back within the month of September, hopefully. What are you going to say?
Where does this season rank for you as far as how enjoyable it's been? Like, 1 through 10. At least give me rating 1 through 10. And then I'll have you rank it amongst the 2020s.
I'm going to put it at a 6.
Okay, I thought you might say 7. So we're
yeah, really... 6 or 7. My first thought was 5, but there's
Josh 6.
I see it. I'm pretty sure that is extinct now.
I'm one for the camera to be extinct. No, I hate that thing.
Tanner's bringing it back. 17 games over 500, but the inconsistency has been maddening. I mean, you have You know, they win 20 or 23 games in April and May. Then they lose 10 straight and have the worst record in baseball for, you know, 6 weeks. Then they had the best record in baseball for 6 weeks. Snip, snap, snip, snap, snip, snap. Sort of you know, I'll bump it up to a 7. It's been, for the most part, enjoyable. Pete Crow Armstrong has made it enjoyable, what he's been able to do. It's been a lot of fun to watch.
He's got to be definitely the number one selling Cubs jersey, right?
Oh, yeah. He might be the number one selling jersey in America, that is, in baseball. And I think as of right now, he's a heavy, heavy, heavy favorite to be most valuable player with Shohei no longer pitching. As far as ranking it, most enjoyable like in the 2020s.
So six seasons.
I mean, this is probably one or two. Last year's probably one. This is two. 2020 might be three because I made the playoffs that year.
What if we extend it back 10 years? Of course, 2016's one.
Right.
But
2016 won. 2015, 1B. I love that team too. 2017 would be third. 2025 would be four. Then probably this year, then maybe 2018, they won 95 games, but that's when Brewers won like 14 in a row to end the year and ended up forcing the game 163. So they didn't even get to celebrate, but that was a really good team. But as far as enjoyable goes,
is that the team that lost to the Rockies?
That lost to the Rockies in the one game. The offense broke is what Theo said after the season, which is very true. But this has been, it's been probably the most roller coaster of them all. Last year was kind of a roller coaster too, but not nearly like this. So, elsewhere around baseball, Phillies are only 5 behind Atlanta.
I don't think they're gonna catch them though.
No, there's just not enough games left. I don't think. Rays are 4.5 up on the Yankees. 8.5 up on Boston.
Yeah.
White Sox are 3.5 up on Cleveland. Houston is one game over 500 and winning the West by 2 games. Wild card, Cubs have a 5-game lead of a playoff spot. Arizona's clinging on to that last playoff spot, a half game up on San Diego. And in the American League, the Yankees and Red Sox would be wild card teams. And then Cleveland has a 1-game lead over Baltimore and a 1.5-game lead over Toronto. So they're still in it. Both those teams are. But, not a whole lot of movement this week, it seems like. Figure it out, Cubs. Please.
Figure it out, Cubs.
Please.
I would love to know the person who runs the Cubs social media, particularly their ex, if they know who you are.
I doubt it. there's some greatest hits on there. Some of those people come on there every single day, and they're just they're way, way, way worse than I am. I get grumpy, but
I wonder, like, when it comes to running a social media account like that, like at that caliber. For one, they might just hand it off to like an intern or something. I don't know. Sure. I don't know. But like, I wonder what somebody has to do to get blocked.
Honestly, I'm surprised if they even have notifications turned on. Like, I can't imagine they're really.
Well, they probably don't, but they probably go through every once in a while.
Maybe and see what's going on.
See what's being said.
Yeah. Probably death threats, I imagine, would be the
like one I know thing my I rule in my everyday job. Uh-huh. I kind of have a rule. I usually have like a 3-strike system, or if somebody says something way, way out of line, I don't even give them 3 strikes, which has only been in the 10 years I've been with my company. I think I can count them all in one hand where I didn't give them a 3-strike rule and I just said, it's always been on Facebook.
Facebook users are kind of ruthless at times. Which is crazy because on Twitter you can kind of get away with having like burner accounts and getting on there, but Facebook you really can't. I mean, you can. No. But
well, and now if you're ever to run a Facebook page, Jamie and I for something,
I don't think I'm going to. No.
Yeah, you never know. You never know never where life will
take. I guess that's fair.
You can Facebook allows you to not only block that person, but any page they might go on to create. They might. Yeah. So if as long as they put it under the same email, probably or something.
Yeah.
I don't know all the specifics, but they're getting better with their safety.
So. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. But no, the playoffs, man, it'll be here soon.
Yep, it will.
It's a fun time of year.
It is,
to be a sports fan.
From now through, like, really the end of the year, it's kind of fun.
I'd say now through March Madness.
Yeah, yeah. But especially October, I think, is my probably favorite month.
September and October, right there.
Hard to beat. Yeah.
Yep. 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 So, you want to get educated?
I do.
About sporting events that have happened on August 31st. Still crazy. That's August 31st. On this day in 1881, the first U.S. men's singles tennis championships were held in Newport, Rhode Island. On this day in 1894, Phillies outfielder Billy Hamilton, not to be confused with the one that was a Red, equaled George Gore's MLB single-game stolen base record with seven steals.
Wow.
And a 10-8 win versus the Washington Senators.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of steals. Wow, this would have been pathetic to be at. On his day, 1934, the first NFL Chicago All-Star game was held. The Bears and the All-Stars tied 0-0 in front of 79,432 fans.
Riveting.
Yeah. On his day, 1959, Sandy Koufax broke Dizzy Dean's NL mark of 18 strikeouts in a single game against the San Francisco Giants.
Can you name me the most strikeouts in a single game?
20 by a
couple guys.
Kerry Wood, Randy Johnson.
Did Randy ever do it?
Yeah, I remember watching Randy do it. And he also threw a perfect game. Yeah. Who else?
Roger. Clemens.
Roger.
And Max Scherzer.
I didn't know it was up to four now. On this day, 1968, MLB Pittsburgh Pirates relief pitcher Roy Face ties Walter Johnson's record of 802 pitching appearances with the club.
Wonder if Sean Shriver remembers that one.
1968, I think he would have been,
young, but
seven, but
yeah,
he's the biggest diehard Pirates fan I know. So there's a chance. We're in the 70s, we're in the 80s. Wednesday, 1985, Angel Cordero Jr. became the third jockey to ride horses, earning over $100 million.
Wow. To ride a horse.
Good for you, Angel.
You ever ridden a horse? You've ridden a camel.
I've ridden a camel, never rode. Not that I can remember, like, unless I was little and somebody put me on one, like, at a zoo or something, but not that I can remember.
That's a good, two truths and a lie sort of deal. I've ridden a camel before.
Yeah. Got two cramps, both my legs getting off of it, and it was very embarrassing, and it hurt like, know what.
You need to drink more water.
I was dehydrated. It was also my honeymoon. It was really hot out. Yes. A lot of contributing factors for the dehydration. Well, let's say 1990, the baseball outfielders King Griffey and King Griffey Jr. became the first father and son to play on the same team. The Seattle Mariners, the pair hit back-to-back singles in the first inning and both scored. I was in 1997. Eddie George ran for 216 yards on 35 carries and scored a touchdown as the Oilers played their first NFL game in Tennessee, beating the Raiders 24-21 in overtime at the Liberty Bowl in Memphis. So they didn't have the Titans name yet, didn't have their stadium, which is Nissan Stadium, I believe, yet. So, interesting.
That is back when they ran 35 times. Handed it off to the same guy. When's the last time a guy's gotten 30 carries in a game? 25 carries in a game, even.
I bet there were some backs got 25 last year.
Maybe.
30 might be a stretch. Well, it was the 1997, the Yankees officially retired Don Mattingly's number 23 jersey. They've retired about every number you can think of.
There's some guys in there that should not be retired, that's for sure.
I agree. On this day in 2019, the Minnesota Twins smashed six home runs in a 10-7 loss to the Tigers in Detroit, breaking the MLB's record by hitting their club's 268th home run of the season.
They hit over,
that's still a record or not.
They hit over 300 that year, I'm pretty sure.
I
want to say they either still have it or Atlanta broke it a few years ago. It was really close, I remember.
Yeah. But that's going to do it for the On This Day segment this week, which is brought to you by, like it is every week in 2026, by Blue River Digital. Blue River Digital is a full-service smart marketing agency. They help businesses simplify marketing and grow with intention. Their focus is on systems, strategy, and long-term results, not hype or one-off tactics. They offer digital marketing, website development, graphic design, printing and direct mail, signage and vehicle graphics, corporate apparel, promotional items, and AI and automations. They work with small, medium, and large businesses spanning across the United States with a strong presence in Northern Indiana. Contact them today, 260-248-2749, to see how they can help you and your business with your digital marketing.
Before we get into our Big Ten predictions, can I do my blind ranking real quick?
You absolutely can. And you know, one thing I didn't even note is 2 weeks from tonight's the first Monday Night Football game.
Oh.
Next Monday, we'll be doing our NFL preview.
Yes.
And so come NFL season, we also got to do three winners, three losers.
Oh.
We got a bunch of segments we haven't done for a while with that and the confident points coming up.
I was sitting there yesterday and I ended up texting you Big Ten conference points, because I'd forgotten.
I'm glad you thought of it. It got in my mind last week and then it escaped. Yeah. So,
yep. But my blind ranking this week is obscure, forgotten Big Ten quarterbacks.
Oh, I like it.
So you get a rank them 1 through 5 based on how fondly you remember them as far as how good they were.
Fair.
Anyway, starting with Joel Stave.
Joel Stave. Wisconsin, definitely forgettable.
Four-year starter, though.
They had a line of these 3 to 4 year starters that you didn't know very well, but they were winners because they had a good old line and, more importantly, a good running back or core running backs, and they just didn't make mistakes.
Yeah.
I remember him. Couldn't tell you much he did in his career, so I'm going to put him at 5.
All right. Mitch Leidner.
Mitch Leidner.
Minnesota.
Refresh me where he played. What years?
Like 17, 18, 19. He was there a while. Like, he was an NFL prospect.
I don't remember him at all.
That's crazy.
I'll put him at 4. I do not remember him.
He was on like that 10-win Minnesota team with PJ Fleck.
I tried to blank out everything PJ Fleck does. But the Minnesota might be the one school of the like original we grew up on, 11. I'll even throw Nebraska in there for 12. They might be the school I can name you the least amount of quarterbacks.
Yeah. It's a good one.
I always think of Adam Weber, and he played for
Chicago. Yeah. I mainly think of Eric Decker with Adam Weber, more so than I think of Adam Weber.
Yeah.
Jake Rudock.
Jake Rudock. Man, these are very forgettable guys.
He played at Iowa and then transferred to Michigan in 2016.
I remember at Iowa. Kind of forgot he went to Michigan. Put him at 3. Gosh, I'm going in order so far. This is terrible. None of these guys did anything real noteworthy.
No, I know. They were all pretty good college quarterbacks.
Should have went Stave with 1. This is aging poorly.
Fourth guy I have here is Northwestern's Dan Persa.
Yeah, I do remember Dan Persa. Yeah. Still should have put Stave over him. Screw it. Let's just go in order 5-1 this week. Let's put him at number 2.
Your best quarterback that you absolutely love is IU's Ben Chappell.
He's the one, obviously, I remember him the most. Yeah. And
he was had the great, best on that list, too.
Oh, yeah, probably. He had the great arm talent.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Was he just under Bill Lynch, I believe?
I think so. I don't know if he overlapped.
Did he transfer over to Kevin Wilson?
I don't know. I don't know if his last year is with Bill Lynch or his last year is with Kevin Wilson. But I know
good arm talent. Had good receivers. Well, IU's always had good receivers. That's the crazy thing. Even when they were terrible, which I wish they'd go back to being. My life would be so much better. But yeah, I'm good with Chapel 1. Re-rank, I'd have Stave 2. The rest, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Falling back a spot. But, you know, it's funny. Kevin Wilson, so many people forget about that guy because he's not a very good human being. He kind of had them, I wouldn't say absolutely rolling, but he had them going in the right direction.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah, explosive offenses when he was there. I mean, they had those great running backs, Tevin Coleman, obviously.
I mean, I think he was the coach. Like I said, I get him and Bill Lynch's eras, even though Wilson made a bowl game or two and Lynch didn't, kind of get those eras mixed up, but I think they had Roby was mm-hmm. a wide receiver, and James yeah. Hardy was a wide receiver. Cody Latimer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had some good receivers and some backs, like you mentioned, Colt Coleman. So, and Kellen Lewis was a very talented quarterback yeah. who couldn't stay out of trouble. I think he ended his career at Iowa State or Illinois State, the Redbirds.
Oh, that's here, right.
Alma mater. Yeah. Yeah. Well, man, I miss those IU teams. Good list for the blind ranking segment, which is brought to you by Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting in 2026 or 2027, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. So now we're talking the Big Ten. The Big Ten has had the last three national champions, including, I still can't believe I'm saying this, the defending national champion Indiana Hoosiers.
Yeah. I think they're very well poised to do it again for a fourth year.
I do not, but that's all right.
That is okay.
I think they'll be good, but I think their schedule's sneaky, a little more sneaky difficult than people think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They got a couple road games that I think will be big testers. Like, and I'm really not trying to knock IU too much because what they've done last few years.
I was talking the Big Ten as a whole, I think, has a good shot.
Oh, I'm sorry. I agree. That's all right. I agree. I'm sorry. I thought you meant Indiana.
No. I don't think they.
I could see Indiana making the playoff. But like I said, I think their schedule's sneaky hard, especially a few road games like that they haven't really had the last 2 years, excluding Ohio State 2 years ago. Because last year they didn't have too many tough road games. But it wouldn't have mattered. I mean, they were good enough. They should have had the playoff.
Right. Should have lost at Penn State. But they didn't. They won.
Yeah, Penn State had them. But
they did. But, yeah.
Who knows? Maybe they win that game. Maybe Franklin's still there. I don't know.
I think he'd been fired by that time, hadn't he? He'd been fired by that time. Yeah. He got fired like week two, didn't he? Week three? Something like that. It was fairly early that he got canned. I'm pretty sure it was. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was the.
I doubt it was week two or three, depending on where they started in the top 25.
I'm going to look it up.
But I would say like week. Now that you mentioned it, I'd say like week six, maybe. But I could be way off, man.
When did James Franklin get fired?
I can barely remember what I had for lunch today, let alone.
What did you have for lunch?
I had SpaghettiOs.
Oh, nice. It was closer to you. Remember they lost to Northwestern at home.
Oh, yeah.
It was October 12th, so that was probably week six.
Six or seven.
And then the IU game was definitely after that. So.
Okay. Good call. Good memory there.
Well, we both won that one.
No, both won and lost.
yes, we did.
Yeah, the Big Ten's loaded. I mean,
it is.
I'm looking at my standings here. I got a pretty good team finishing 12th, I think. Like, that's just how the conference is this year. They're going to beat up on each other.
And I did do the playoff predictor thing where you went game by game for this one, so it makes it easier. But who you have finishing 18th?
Well, you know, some of these I don't know how. Like, I had to catch, like, one of my predictors has a team finishing third. That has a worse record than the fourth and fifth team. So I got to keep that in mind when I get there. I don't know why it did that.
Well, worst conference record, though, because if it's based off conference record, because I have that, like, worse overall.
Tied in conference.
Oh.
But worse overall record, yeah. Oh. And their winning percentage is lower. I have no idea why it did that.
Yeah,
but anyways, why I say that is I have a few of these bottom teams with the same conference record at 1-8. 18, I got Pat Fitzgerald getting off to a bad start in East Lansing. Spartans going 3-9, 1-8 in conference.
I have Michigan State finishing 14th, going 4-8, 2-7. So they must just have the tiebreaker over a couple teams.
That's where I have my 14th team at, right where you
are. So, I don't think they'll be very good. He is back. He'll probably get him back to being solid. But
it just takes time. It's going to take time. Yeah. I mean, heck, they don't even have a stable athletic director.
Right. I have Rutgers finishing 18th at 4-8, 1-8 in the conference.
I got Rutgers 17th at 1-8 in conference, 3-9. yeah, overall.
Boston College transfer Dylan Lonergan was named starting quarterback. So
I think that's the toughest job in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
My co-host on the Boiler Breakdown podcast, Aaron Lynch, disagrees with me. He thinks Purdue's the toughest job in the Power Four. I don't.
Lynch.
I think it's Stanford close. Is. We got an argument about that.
Not even week. Close.
Yeah.
Not even close.
I think Purdue is a...
I would say Purdue's probably a... Maybe a bottom or...
Bottom quarter. I think they're bottom...
Quarter of the Big... Yeah, bottom... Yeah. Even five. Hardest job in the Big Ten.
Difficulty, yeah, but it's not the hardest.
I think not even close. I think Northwestern's more difficult.
I think Northwestern's difficult, too.
Which I have them finishing 17th.
I got Northwestern 16th at 4-8, 1-8 in conference. They
got
a brutal conference schedule.
Yeah. They did name former Michigan State quarterback Aiden Chiles as their starting quarterback.
He's a turnover waiting to happen.
Their new stadium looks cool, but I think it'll be packed with opposing fans.
It's weird they don't have a home game till October.
That is strange. That's really weird. Honestly, I like their stadium on the water. I thought that was a cool place. And this kind of looks almost too... like soccer stadium-ish in Europe.
They definitely have some money. Throw around Chip Kelly, new OC there. Little Neuheisel, I can't think of his name. He's the quarterback coach, I believe. So they got some coaches with some name substance. Will that turn into wins? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Chip Kelly there. That'll be kind of fun.
It's really odd.
It's weird. Yeah, it's strange. But finishing 16th.
Northwestern.
Oh, you have Northwestern. That's right. I have Wisconsin finishing 16th at 4-8, 2-7 in the conference. Hot seat for Luke Fickell.
If he doesn't make a bowl, he's gone.
Yeah.
He might even need to go 7-5. I have the Badgers 13th at 5-7 overall, 3-6 in the conference. It's weird. It's weird to see Wisconsin struggle. I'm not complaining about it.
No.
But it's very odd.
They did bring in an exciting quarterback transfer from Old Dominion. Colton Joseph threw for over 2,600 yards and ran for 1,000 yards last season. They start out with Notre Dame, right? Is that where they
started? Yeah, Lambeau, Sunday night. Yep. Sunday night. Okay. Notre Dame is a 20.5 point favorite the last time I saw the line.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. That's crazy, though. You wouldn't have guessed that 2 years ago.
No, I know. It's crazy. I have Purdue finishing 15th at 4-8, 2-7 in the conference.
Same exact record. I got them at 14th.
Okay. I think their Big Ten schedule is as easy as it's been in a while, and they should get to a couple wins.
Yeah, no Ohio State, no Oregon, even no Michigan, no USC. They do play Washington, but it's at home. I mean, that won't be easy. I don't have them winning a road game. got them going 4-8. With their wins, Indiana State. I haven't beaten Wake Forest, which that game is going to be humongous for them for their season. I have them beating Maryland, and I have them sneaking up and beating Minnesota at home because they should have had them last year. They usually play PJ pretty well. There's a couple games like everything would have to fall into place, stay healthy, upset some teams. If there's a road they could get to 6, but my God, if they get to 6, Barry Odom might win Big Ten Coach of the Year.
He might, yeah.
I mean, I think the roster's a lot elevated talent-wise compared to last year, but you still have 36 new guys, which is fifth most in the Big Ten. Last year, they had like 60 new guys. I like the portal window, how it closes now after spring ball, so they have the same guys. But they went through pretty much since January, where last year they were still getting pieces in July. They didn't have a lot of, and last year Purdue should have beat Rutgers and could have beat Minnesota. They choked the fourth quarter lead away.
Yeah.
You go 4-8 last year. I think the fan base is feeling a little better going into this year. But the fact you haven't won a Big Ten game in 2 years and you've won three games combined in the last 2 years, it's hard to fault anybody for not having them go like 3-9.
Right.
I always say, well, if they ever become relevant or pretty good again, those fans should not be fans that don't give any hope or don't go to games or sell their tickets.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to it. I'm interested to see what some of their new offensive playmakers are going to be. They got Minnesota's backup running back is their starting running back now. I'm going to butcher his name, but I believe his first name's Fame or Fami. Ejiboy is his last name. And then they got Jarrett Gibson from Texas and speedster Travis Terrell Jr. from Jackson State. He's like 5'9", but he's going to be the returner. I think he was a first team, whatever level they are, return man, like All-American return man. So anxious to see what he can do. Not too many noteworthy newcomers on defense. Charles Correa will be the captain. He had a good season last year. Now he's a junior. So, but they'll go as far as the quarterback takes him. Ryan Brown, Barry Odom's kind of hitched his wagons, pushed all his chips all in for Ryan Brown. Didn't really want to go get a guy in a portal. I still wouldn't be shocked if they tried and couldn't do it. And then also another newsworthy thing. He brought back defense coordinator Kevin Kane, who was abysmal under Ryan Walters for 2 years. But to Kevin's benefit, that wasn't his defense. Now it's his defense. He was running Ryan Walters' system. And I don't know how much he even had control of anything. But it was still a shocking move this offseason. But it's been a weird offseason with coaches returning to former places. Yeah. So we'll see.
One thing I like about college football is with no preseason, like in the NFL, you can watch guys like, okay, that guy's going to be a major contributor.
Right.
College football, you could – a guy who you really don't know much about could have, you know, 100 yards receiving in game one. Right. Like, that guy came out of nowhere. So that's always kind of fun.
Right. Yeah. They got a few new pass catchers. Xavier Townsend from Iowa State. B.C. Owens from Penn. He has an Ivy League school. Those are two names to watch out for. So we'll see. It can't be much worse than what it was last year. So. No. 15, though, I had Maryland because I had 14.
I had Maryland
2-7 and 5-7.
I have Maryland at 11th, 5-7, 4-5 in Big Ten though. I think Loxley's probably on the hot seat. Would you say?
I think so. Should be once again. Yeah. So I'm not trying to call him out. Our good friend Aaron Lynch loves Mike Loxley.
Yeah,
he thinks the Terps are gonna roll this year. He said on the Boiler Breakdown last week, roll.
Come on, man. Come on, Aaron. Come on.
I told him if Loxley doesn't go bowling, he's gone. I think. Maryland has not had a winning conference record since they joined the Big Ten.
Yeah. They do have a good quarterback this year, Malik Washington.
He is an athlete.
Not much else.
I mean, he can recruit, Loxley can, but just, yeah. I don't know. They don't strike fear in you.
No. Who you have finishing 13th?
Wisconsin.
Yeah, Wisconsin. I have UCLA finishing 13th.
I got the Bruins. Where do I have them? I have them 9th at 7-5 and 5-4 in conference.
I have UCLA going 5-7, 3-6 in conference. I love the Bob Chesney hire. I think that's a fantastic hire. He brought a lot from James Madison, which worked out well for Sigs. So we'll see if it can happen again. I don't think he's going
to
have that.
I can also see everything backfire. Trying to do the blueprint. But
yeah.
He's got a talented quarterback, Nico.
Who you have finishing 12th?
I have Minnesota, 7-5, 4-5 in conference.
I have Minnesota 10th with the exact same record you did, though, 7-5, 4-5. 10th year for PJ already.
Unbelievable. If you would have told me that 2 years ago, I would have laughed. I'm like, he'll be lucky if he'll be the 5. And and I'm sure he's turned down some offers that we don't know about.
Yeah, I think those offers are probably dried up now.
Sure. Maybe an Arkansas or something.
Yeah, something like that. But I would say Minnesota's probably a better job than Arkansas at this
point. Safer.
They have not had a top 50 offense since 2020, so they need to start scoring some points. They did return the quarterback Drake Lindsey, and they're starting running back Darius Taylor. But
it's be a solid for Drake Lindsey. Yeah. He's very you got to show me something.
Yep. I have Nebraska finishing 12th.
I got them 11th
at 6-6, 3-6 in conference. I would say Matt Rhule's on a pretty hot seat as well.
Yeah, I got them 7-5, 4-5 in conference, but I do have them beating Indiana at home. I have them getting out to like a 6-0 start and
just, just tank. That might get Rhule fired if they start out 6-0 and then finish 7-5. Dylan Raiola got hurt.
That could still be a really tough place to play.
Definitely.
If they get good, but.
Definitely. Raiola transferred to Oregon. They replaced him with UNLV transfer Anthony Calandrea. Threw for nearly 3,500 yards last year. But they have their fourth different defensive coordinator in the last 5 years.
Yeah, so that's not good.
No.
They're not the black shirt defense of old.
Nope. I had Maryland finishing 11th, Minnesota 10th.
I had Minnesota 12th, Nebraska 11th. So 10th, I have Iowa, 7-5, 4-5 in conference.
I have Iowa 7th at 9-3, 6-3.
You love their brand of football. I know you love it.
28th year for Ferentz.
Unbelievable.
The defense is always awesome under Phil Parker. The offense was slightly better last season, but still stinks. And they only threw for 1,800 yards as a team. Their quarterback is on the Dolphins practice squad, so that's great. It sounds like they're going to split time between two quarterbacks.
Didn't Phil Parker leave?
I can't imagine Phil.
And Parker he was their left. Special teams, right?
He was their defense coordinator.
Was he a defense coordinator?
Phil Parker's been with Ferentz, I think, 28, all 28.
I think he's still there. Why did I think he left?
He's an older guy. I can't imagine he'd leave for another job.
No, he's still there. He's been there since he's been DC since 2012.
Yeah, he would be there.
Who did? Maybe they lost their special teams coordinator. I thought. They lost somebody that everybody's like, whoa. But
I don't remember.
Maybe I'm.
Hank Brown and Jeremy Heklinski are going to do a co-quarterback thing, which never works ever to start the year. They do have great running back room, Kamari Moulton, and they picked up South Dakota transfer Lyndon Phillips, who had 1,900 yards last year. So
they just don't beat themselves. You got to go beat them.
Yeah, I think they'll be better than they have been the past couple of years. But
one of my 26 bold predictions for 2026 was this is going to be Ferentz's last year, even though I got him 7-5. I could see it.
What number was that? Was that number 10? Was that 10th?
Yeah, 10.
I had Iowa 7th. But yeah, finishing 9th.
I got UCLA.
I have Illinois finishing 9th at 7-5, 4-5 in conference. Outside of, Oregon, they host Oregon and play at Ohio State. Their schedule in the Big Ten is not overly scary. They do host, I think, Washington and Iowa. But other than that, I think 7-5 is probably right in the middle. I think they could get to 9-3 if a lot of things go right. I think they could fall back to 6-6 if some things go
Illinois?
Right. Yeah.
I got them 6th at 9-3, 6-3 in conference.
You're much higher on them than I am.
I got them sneaking out some wins. They won't be favored.
Fair. Caton Hauser, a transfer from East Carolina, has big shoes to fill, taking over for his name's escaping me all of a sudden. He just got cut by the Lions today. Luke Altmyer. But the staff has raved about Hauser, says they're almost identical, him and Altmyer. But they did lose 4 starters on the offensive line, but they get their running backs back. Receiving room's good. Defense is scary, though. They soft-fired is what they called it. Defensive coordinator Aaron Henry, who took, I think, linebacker coach at Notre Dame. So he has a pretty good gig now, too.
Yeah.
But they hired Montana head coach Bobby Hawk to be defensive coordinator, who runs a weird, 3-3-5.
That doesn't work very often in big conferences.
And, we'll see if it works. The reason why he hired Beathem hired him is they were running a system that's very similar to, 3 or 4 other schools, including Purdue. And he's like, a team plays Purdue 1 week and then they don't really have to do much prep for us.
That's so a good point.
That no one else runs, but we'll see.
Very good point.
The front seven's horrible, but secondary should be their most talented on paper.
They've had a good secondary for a while.
Yeah. This is, I would say, their best on paper since the Devin Witherspoon class. So.
Yeah, as a Purdue fan, I'm not a Bielema fan, but I got to give it to the guy. He's a good ball coach.
He's a
good ball coach. When he's not in the SEC.
Yeah.
Arkansas's a tough job.
Illinois is a good spot for him, I think. He's built them respectable for the first time, in a long time.
100% has. 100%. I was surprised they weren't ranked, to be honest.
I think if they expanded the rankings to 35, they would have been ranked 33. Yeah. So they're close. They're right in conversation. But, I think too many questions around the defense, defensive side of the ball. But finishing 8th.
I got Indiana. I'm going to get a lot of flack. I got them 8-4, 5-4 in conference. I have them losing at Nebraska. I have them losing at Michigan. I have them losing to USC and Ohio State.
Okay. I have them 3rd at 11-1. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop, And until it does, I'm not going to pick against them anymore.
Maybe I'm thinking Hoover's going to come in and throw a bunch of picks because that's what he did at TCU. Yeah. But
super talented,
I mean, they are not going to sneak up on anybody ever again.
That's another thing.
I mean, I got Ohio State and USC both as 2 playoff teams. So, Yeah, I think USC's offense is
pretty good.
I mean, they were up a ton the other day and called the dogs up. They're up 35-3 and then ended up being a 2-score game or whatever.
In front of 400 people there.
That's all the West Coast football except Oregon and Washington, and
yeah,
they're all going to be pretty good. So yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's probably just the Purdue fan of me, but
it's like, definitely the Purdue fan. I hope you're right.
I don't though. Know. I just, right. I mean, they're not going to get tested in a non-conference, but
yeah. Charlie Becker is a fantastic wide receiver. Also brought in
best
Nick
player
Marsh.
In the country last six games last
yeah.
year.
Shaws Preston. They'll be really good again, I think. Yep. But I have Penn State finishing eighth at 8-4, 5-4 in the conference. Hired Matt Campbell. Only three starters returned from Penn State last year. Obviously, I'm sure Franklin took a bunch with him to Virginia Tech. But Matt Campbell brought a lot from Iowa State, including quarterback Rocco Becht. So we'll see. I think it's a good fit for him there.
I got Penn State better than I really think they're going to be. Seventh at 9-3 and 6-3 in the conference.
Not too far.
They always going to have talent. It's always going to be a tough place to play. I think their wideout game might be Washington. I just saw them.
It's probably smart not to do it against one of the top teams. Yeah. You can actually win.
But I mean, they have talent to win nine games, and I think they got a good football coach. But,
I do too.
We'll see how patient they are with them.
I had Iowa finishing seventh. Who? Yeah, finishing sixth.
Illinois.
Oh, that's right. I have Washington sixth at 9-3, 6-3 in the conference. Star quarterback DeMond Washington. Decided to return, then he transferred, then returned again. So snip, snaps. Snip,
tried to leave, and they wouldn't let him leave.
Yeah. So we'll see if that has lasting effects, because that could. They did lose their leading rusher and receiver, but expect big things from sophomore running back Jordan Washington, wide receivers Desmond Roebuck, and Chris Lawson. So very, very talented.
Yeah, I got the Huskies fourth at 10-2, 7-2 in conference. I think their two losses I have them losing to USC and Oregon. Yeah, their defense is going to be good under Ryan Walters. I could say a lot of things about the guy, but he's a good defensive coordinator.
Yes, he is.
He's got good talent to work with, too. A tough place to play. It's a place that they actually do show up and watch the games. Yeah, even though I still am not a huge fan of Oregon and Washington being in the conference, they're two good programs. So
very. I have USC finishing fifth.
I got them third.
I have them finishing 9-3, 6-3 in the conference. High octane offense led by Jaden Maiava. Defense is always a question under Lincoln Riley, but they did hire former TCU head ball coach Gary Patterson as their defensive coordinator. So maybe they'll get it figured out.
Yeah, I got them 10-2, 7-2 in the conference, losing to Ohio State and Oregon, I believe, if my memory serves me correct. I fell in love with their quarterback last year when I watched him play live. They're always gonna have talent. I think they get it figured out this year. If not now, maybe Lincoln gets shown the door. I don't know, but I have him as one of my three representatives from the Big Ten and in the college football playoff. So,
yep. You got finishing fourth.
Fourth is Washington. I didn't say the fifth place team. Oh, I have Michigan. This is where the system put them three, even though I have them 9-3 and 7-2 in conference, and they didn't play. I didn't have them beating. Washington or USC, they play one of them. They don't play the other one. So I don't know, but I think they had a great head coaching hire.
Yeah. I have them finishing fourth at 9-3, 6-3 in the conference. Love the Whittingham hire. Brings high character, which is something they haven't had in coach in a while. I wasn't impressed with Bryce Underwood last year. And he needs to have a breakout year in order for them to really hit their ceiling. But I love the Whittingham hire. And I even loved what he said about Ohio State. They asked him if he hated them. He said, why would I hate them? You know, just it's just another team. And that's how it needs to be, because sometimes they hype it up so much that Ryan Day did it for years and he lost all those games to him.
And now he moved Senior Day up.
Yeah, because of that. So it's just another game.
Yep.
So I have him fourth. Who'd you have third?
USC. Sorry.
I have IU third. So we both have a top two, which I assumed would happen. Who you have finishing second?
Well, I have them tied, but I believe I got one beating the other one in the championship, Big Ten championship. So I'm putting Ohio State at second, 11-1, 8-1 in conference.
I have Ohio State winning it at 12-0, 9-0 in the conference. Julian, saying
Oregon beating them. I think
that's my one loss I have for Oregon. So I have Oregon
finishing
second
at
11-1.
I have Oregon losing to
8-1 in the Big Ten.
So I have Oregon 11-1, 8-1. But being Ohio State, I don't know who I have Oregon losing to. Somebody.
Ohio State, Julian Sayin, Jeremiah Smith, Bo Jackson, they returned three all Big Ten linemen. They're just loaded. Yeah. Oregon, Dante Moore decided to come back, which was a surprise. I think he would have been the first quarterback taken, probably.
Yeah.
First or second. They also return a bunch of stars on defense. They did lose both quarterback coordinators to Power Four head coaching jobs in Kentucky's new coach, Will Stein, I think his name is. And Cal's coach, Tosh something, also is there. But they're loaded, too. So,
yeah, they're both loaded. It's abundance of riches. I mean, they're ranked top five, respectively, each. Yeah, I have them both in the college football playoff. I think they both can win the national title. Lanning's got to do it one of these days.
Yeah. Yeah, he has to at least get there for sure. Yep. But and I have Ohio State winning the Big Ten championship game.
I got Oregon.
Okay.
So year three. So you got Indiana making the playoffs?
I have Indiana making it. Yeah.
All right. So you got Ohio State, Oregon, Indiana. So year 12, if I'm remembering correctly, in no particular order. Notre Dame, Miami, Texas, Georgia, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, Texas Tech, BYU, San Diego State, Ohio State, Oregon, and Indiana.
Sounds right.
My 12, Notre Dame, Miami, SMU, Texas, Georgia, Oklahoma, BYU, Texas Tech, Boise State, Oregon, Ohio State, and USC. And I have Oregon winning it all over Notre Dame.
I have Notre Dame winning it all over Ohio State. I think they get revenge.
Thank God you didn't do what Herbstreit said. He had Notre Dame over Indiana.
That would be your nightmare. Just pinch me. Wake me up.
Notre Dame winning it after Indiana would be bad enough.
Yeah. Playing each other in it. Who'd you root for? Would you root for Notre Dame?
I did when they played 2 years ago in the playoff. It's the only time I've ever rooted for Notre Dame in my life.
That had to hurt.
It did, but it was actually pretty easy during the game.
Fair. Fair.
And then after the game was over, it's like, all right, hope they lose next week, which they did. Yeah. And they made the national title and lost to Ohio State. But,
yeah.
Yeah, they're going to be very good, unfortunately. So,
yep. Big Ten, pick them. 18 games we got to rifle through in 8 minutes. UMass at Rutgers.
Yeah, let's see. I got Rutgers for 12.
I have Rutgers for 12 as well.
What's the spread on that game?
I don't know.
I'll bring up the spreads. Spreads. Rutgers 29.5-point favorites. Okay. Games on Big Ten Network Thursday night.
My mother-in-law's alma mater, Eastern Illinois at Minnesota.
And Tony Romo and Sean Payton's.
And Jimmy Garoppolo.
Golden Gophers 42.5-point favorites, 8 o'clock on Peacock/NBC Sports Network on Thursday night. I got the Golden Gophers of 14 confidence points.
I have Minnesota for 13 confidence points. UAB at Illinois.
Late one on Big Ten Network at 9 o'clock Thursday night. Illinois is a 28-point favorite. I have Illinois for 8. I think they're way better, but there's a lot of bad opponents this week
for Big Ten. I have Illinois for 10. They have a new coach. Trent Dilfer did not do very well
there. No, that did not. That did not. And,
they're not very good. So Illinois for 10. Indiana State at Purdue.
Purdue's 36.5-point favorites. Indiana State already lost the game. I think it was a Southeast Missouri State Friday. They are bad. They're not even just FCS. They are bad. They always have been. Purdue 7-0 against them all time, 15-0 against FCS. Remember, Ryan Walters beat Indiana State 49-0 2 years ago to kick things off as his only win. Purdue's 36.5-point favorites. I think Purdue gets it done, 15 confident points because Indiana State's that bad.
Yeah, I have Purdue for 9 just because I think there's so many more opportunities for blowouts. But again, I think this will be an absolute massacre as well.
Yeah, I hope. If not,
Toledo at Michigan State.
Interesting one here. Michigan State's only a 10-point favorite. This is an 8 o'clock game. Fox Sports 1 Friday night. I have the Spartans for 4.
I have Michigan State for 2. So, Fresno State at USC.
Fox game, 9 o'clock Friday night. USC's 22.5-point favorites, ranked 14th. I got the Trojans for 7.
I have USC for 3. Again, I think they'll roll, but it's just hard this stage of the year. North Texas at Indiana.
Trace Jackson Davis's younger brother, who used to be at Indiana, starting quarterback for North Texas. Oh. Indiana's 40.5-point favorites. This game's on Fox at noon. When's the last time Indiana's had a opener being national televised? Probably never. But they're the defending champs. I got Indiana for 17.
I have IU for 15. North Texas was really good last year, but then everyone went to Oklahoma State. So, yep. It's not going to happen this year. IU for 15. Ohio at Nebraska.
Yeah, Nooner on Fox Sports 1. Nebraska's 23.5-point favorite. Ohio's been sneaky good years past, but I got Nebraska for 6.
I have Nebraska for 5. Ball State at Ohio State. What's the spread on that one?
50 and a half.
I was going to say 52 and a half. So
I got Ohio State for 18.
I have Ohio State for 18 as well. Do they cover? I say yes. Ball State's quarterback's a 5'10", 250-pound man. So
that's going to work out just well.
Running around. Boise State at Oregon.
Sneaky good game. I got Boise State making college football playoff. A tough way to open up the season at number 2, Oregon, who's 24.5-point favorites. 330 on CBS/Paramount+. I got the Ducks for 9.
I have Oregon for 16.
Ooh.
I like those Oregon Ducks this year. Marshall at Penn State.
Yeah, 330, Fox Sports 1, Penn State's 24.5-point favorites. I got Penn State for 10.
I have Penn State for 4. Northern Illinois at Iowa.
415 start on Big Ten Network. I was 31.5-point favorites. They probably won't even score that many points.
Yeah.
I got Iowa for 5.
I have Iowa for 8. Western Michigan at Michigan.
The directional school matchup. Michigan's 28-point favorite. 7:30 night game in the Big House on NBC/Peacock. I got the Wolverines for 11.
I have Wolverines for 11 as well. It seems like Western Michigan always plays Michigan State to open the season on Friday nights.
Then Central usually plays them too.
Yeah. Michigan for 11. Hampton at Maryland.
Maryland's 45.5-point favorite. This game's at 8 o'clock Saturday night on Big Ten Network. I got Maryland for 16.
I have Maryland for 14. South Dakota State at Northwestern.
Northwestern only a 13-point favorite, 8 o'clock game. Where are they playing? I didn't think they had a home game in their stadium until October. So where's this game at?
Is it at their one on the
Ryan Field? So I don't know. It says Ryan Field. So maybe I was wrong. I thought so too. I got Northwestern for 13.
I have Northwestern for 7. UCLA at Cal.
UCLA, 1.5-point favorite. This game's 10:30 on the Eastern Standard Time on ESPN. I got Cal for 1.
I have Cal for 1 as well. Washington State at Washington.
What's this rivalry called?
Oh,
what do they play for, I should say?
Isn't it like an apple?
Apple Cup, you got it. Washington is 24-point favorites. This game's 4 o'clock on Sunday on NBC/Peacock. I got the Huskies for 2.
I have Washington for 6, and then Wisconsin at Notre Dame.
Lambeau Field,
Wisconsin versus Notre Dame at Lambeau.
7:30 Sunday night, NBC/Peacock. Notre Dame, 20.5-point favorites. I think the Irish roll, but I only got them for 3 because it's a big matchup on paper.
This will be the J-Man's bucket prediction of the week. I think Notre Dame wins by 42.
God.
42 or more. 6 touchdowns or more.
I get fired after week 1.
Notre Dame for 17. J-Man's bucket prediction of the week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for Life, Home, Auto, Business, Renters, Workers' Comp, and Farm Insurance. Contact Travis 219-869-4561.
Well, Travis, being a Notre Dame fan that he is, he'll be pumped for that book.
Yes. I did that for him.
There you go. For him. Yeah. All right. Birdie or bogey. There's 4 schools in the current Big Ten that have never claimed a national championship.
Maryland.
No.
Starting off,
they've claimed 1. I don't know what year. I have no idea what year.
Rutgers. So...
Nope.
Purdue.
Yes, there's 1.
Yay. Wisconsin.
There's another. Well, that surprised me, but they were pretty bad.
Northwestern.
There's 3.
Who else is in the Big Ten? It's not very good. Trying to think around the conference. Michigan State.
No.
Who
is they won a legit one. Oregon.
Oh, okay. Oregon. Michigan State won a legit one.
I'm looking to see.
Yeah, 5 strokes on me. Terrible. I'm
trying to see what any football championships. Oh, this is not helping. Here we go. Where was Maryland's at? This one actually lists Purdue as national champion in 1931 and 2 others, but they don't claim it. So I don't know. Wikipedia is not stirring me correct. So I don't know.
I stink.
That was probably
6 over.
I didn't want to do another Heisman trivia. So
I would have got that one wrong anyway. Have a great week, everybody. Hope everybody watches a lot of football. Stays cool.
We'll be back on Labor Day with our NFL season preview.
Yes, sir.